Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ahoy! Ahoy there! Welcome aboard my craft. Yes, you probably guessed Martin isn't here again this week. It's just me, Craig, helming the Time Ghost ship alone. Look, let me fill you in. Basically, our weekly podcast has been on pause, really, for a little while because Martin's had a few problems with a very important project. He's getting some gates made for the end of his drive, some lovely ironwork gates being made on-site in his little on-site smithy there by Yarrick's nephew. Anyway, long story short, there's been a few teething problems getting the gates in place. Anyway, they were eventually, finally, triumphantly put in place this weekend. And then, of course, the following morning, Martin realised a small mistake. Basically, Martin's coat of arms, you know, sort of family coat of arms, meant to be there in the ironwork at the top of the gates. When the gates come, you know, close together, the two halves of the shield close, you know, a very magnificent effect, really, shows Martin's coat of arms. From memory, there's a bear on the left-hand side. You've got the shield with various kinds of, Bane Jones emblems on it. On the other side, you've got there's a large salmon. But anyway, underneath the escutcheon is a motto, Latin motto. It's supposed to say, amo ut invenio, I love as I find. But anyway, apparently, been a slight... Is it typography when it's ironwork? But anyway, it was a letter. It actually said amo ut invenio. Now, I didn't do Latin at school, but apparently that means nothing at all. So, you know, far from loving as he found, Martin was really quite cross and wanted it changed. So, anyway, it's gone back to the forge. I understand it's really not a problem at all. All Yarrick has to do, because all these letters are just soldered into place. All he needs is desolder it, make a little N instead of an M, and then put it back up, and it's all going to be fine. So I'm really expecting Martin to be with us next week. Anyway, meanwhile, I thought I would just entertain you, really, with an episode from the Time Ghost Archive. So here we go. This is a particular favourite of mine, actually, from the late noughties. As they say, I hope it's as fun to listen to as it was to make. Wretch, wretch, wretch. Glug, 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 glug.
Well, hello.
Hello.
Hello. I'd like to extend a very warm welcome, put the welcome mat out for you.
Yes, and you're welcome across our cultural threshold.
That's right.
Into our slightly chintzy front room.
I don't know if it is chintzy.
There's a settee.
Oh, yes, maybe it is. Antimacassars.
Anti-what?
Antimacassars. It's the thing they used to put on top of a sofa. They'd stop you. If you wore macassar in your hair, and a lot of people would, which I'm guessing is some sort of goo that just kept it like a preparation for your hair.
Basically, what we're trying to say is, welcome to Time Ghost. This is all about our take on culture.
Do you think we have to do this every week? Do you think every week do I have to say...
What, remind people what the show is
about?
Yes,
yes.
I don't know. It's a bit what you do.
I don't know.
It's what you do with shows, isn't it?
Well, so hello, good evening. It's the news. Over the next half hour, I'll be telling you things about what's happening, you know.
Yeah, hello, good evening. It's Gardener's Question Time. Over the next 25 years,
it's a program.
We'll be asking questions about hostas and whether it's ever possible to grow geraniums in an earthenware pot.
Because it is, must be, patently, it is possible. I've seen it done. 100 million times I've seen it done. But, you know, do you think they do some sort of they tease out some sort of laborious parallel. Ooh, this will be our front room of gardens on gardening programmes. I wonder, maybe they should.
Here's a question for you, Martin.
Go on, fire away.
Which celebrated authoress...
Yes.
That's not sexist. Releases a new book this week.
Oh, is this a clever one? Is it?
No, it's not
is
clever.
Is it sort of Jane Austen, but it's not really, because it's a sort of new take on Jane Austen, like sort of Lost in Austen. No, it's not. It's not a new book.
I'll give you a clue. Okay, her last book, yes. And in fact the subsequent series, freed women from being
Jane
just
Austen.
Flibbertigibbets who went shopping and all they talked about was sex.
Yes.
And just reversed their whole role into being, you know, slightly past it, 40-somethings, who just loved going shopping and talking about sex.
It completely
changed women's roles.
It completely reimagined
yes, women.
Yes. Was it the one where they all would meet up in restaurants for lunch? Yeah,
yes.
So you're talking about Sex
in
the City.
Sex in the City.
It's
so what's
her
name?
Bushnell.
Candace Bushnell.
Candace Bushnell. I always think of that man who looked like Bollock from like
Gary Bushnell. Bluter. You're thinking
Gary Bushnell.
Yeah, no, not Gary.
Gary Bushnell and Candace Bushnell are different people. Aren't
Sex
they?
In the City would have had a slightly different flavour if it had been written by Gary Bushnell. I'm just guessing it would have had Jodie Marsh in it for a start.
Yes, it would have been a different city as well. I'm guessing it would have been sort of Chingford or something
Chingford,
like that. Yes.
And they'd have just, you know, hung out in the kebab shop instead of various kind of shishi eateries.
That's almost exactly
what. And do you know what they'd have done? They'd have put the balls back in entertainment. Like Gary Bushnell keeps saying that he will one day do. Unfortunately, several times he's been given the opportunity to do it.
He
just comes up with the James Whale show. That's what I've noticed.
That's essentially what he does. Well, anyway, it wasn't Gary Bushnell. It was Candace Bushnell. Tell me, she's got a new book coming out. That's what you were itching at. Scratching at.
Can you guess what it's about?
that's an open goal, isn't it? I'm guessing it's not...
It's not about a little Iraqi girl who, you know, trains a horse for the horse trials and, you know, finally gets the journey to Baghdad she's always dreamed about.
No.
It's not about a little tribe of stoats who live on the moon...
No.
Who decide
no.
to...
Is it about two Italian brothers who live in San Francisco?
No.
And have always dreamt of... Oh, OK. Is it about... We'll get there. Is it about a 19th century vizier?
No,
oh,
it's not.
Oh, damn.
No.
Is it about a collection of women in hefty middle age... Living perhaps in New York.
Living on slightly borrowed time. Yes.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, excellent.
Well, at least that's what I glean from the gloss that I've been given.
You've been gleaning the gloss again.
I've been gleaning the gloss. And that's what I'm judging. It seems to me it's about a bunch of women who just like going shopping and talking
about
men.
Meeting, what's the book to be called? Sex and the...
One Fifth Avenue, that should be
it's
a cracking read.
I won't be allowed to read it, of course, because as with so many books in the house, if Daisy Stern were to see
but it's
me
a feminist.
That,
it's feminist. I thought it was very feminist.
You don't even say that. See, it's demeaning to women. It's exploitative of women.
In what possible sense?
Well, it just reinforces the notion of women being sort of idle people who go shopping and...
But don't you see, Martin, it's irony. It's irony, that's the whole... Or maybe it's not... Is it irony? I'm not sure.
I think it was. Let me see if I can remember what it was that Daisy didn't like about it. I think it was that they always had to sort of subjugate themselves to men, eventually, and they were always
right.
in the thrall of some...
To Big.
Mr Big
not
or
even that,
Mr
a man
Riot
called Big.
Or,
yeah.
or a man for this. And it was all about them sort of ultimately discussing. It didn't matter how empowering it was, all those little
right.
salads and egg white omelettes they ate.
Yeah.
They eventually were still going to be being rutted by some man at some stage. And that, I think, got Daisy Stern's goat.
It's interesting, given her blog again this week.
Oh, what? Oh, what? Because, do you see why? What?
Well, Ringo, or whatever his name is. What's his name?
Oh, Trigg, yes.
Trigg,
our Spanish lodger.
He's been busy, isn't he? He must be exhausted.
Well, I haven't been reading the Trigg episodes, to be honest, just because I find them a little bit... I'm not in them. I'm not really that interested. Well, sorry. I'll be honest with you, Craig. I'll be delighted the day that Trigg whistles for his donkey, packs his bags and rides off onto the... I've had enough of Trigg. Do you know what they do?
I know exactly what they do. Because I read the book. Well, I know they never do it on a full stomach, because that makes him feel slightly ill.
I didn't know that.
That was in this week. That was in last night's, actually.
Oh, yeah. Dear. He says things in Spanish and then laughs into his hand. Like this. I think I've had enough of Trigg. But, he keeps Daisy young. He keeps her happy. Keeps her firing on all cylinders, and that's good. That's good. I think it's a sign of a very healthy marriage.
He also likes to wheelbarrow her up and down your veranda.
I think it's a sign of a very healthy marriage if it can...
Be wheelbarrowed.
If it can...
Wife can be wheelbarrowed by a lodger. That's if what I read in the blog is true. Could all be fiction. Could be a work of fiction. Could be clever
her
fiction.
Readers, doesn't she? You know, she has to entertain it. And, of course, what would be more fun than to...
She has to embellish it.
Slightly. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, she does.
Probably. I'm sure the pool table... Has your pool table got a slightly wobbly leg?
It's got a chip in it. No, it's just the.
But it wobbles slightly. There's a large weight suddenly thrown upon it. It sort of wobbles a little bit.
Yeah, it does a little bit. Yes,
well, maybe some of it's true. Maybe some of it's true.
Yeah.
Couple of your snooker balls gone missing. Missing.
Well, yeah, the pink is.
The pink. Yeah. No. But maybe some of it's true then. Yeah. Maybe some of it's true. Maybe some of it's true. Are you directly overlooked by a house on the other side of the street?
Yes, with the young couple,
the Braithwaites.
That's right.
Yeah, maybe some of it's true then. Yeah, yes. Maybe some of it is true. Has he got a
telescope?
Telescope. Maybe some of it is true.
Yes, but they
come round the kitchen. You've got a chandelier just above the pool table that's quite securely... That he's recently just put some quite secure fittings in.
Well, about the only decent thing, honestly, getting Trigg to do anything round the house is...
Yeah. Well, maybe some of it is true then. I don't know. It's hard to. Is there a bit of a stain just when you come in by the drinks cabinet on the floor?
Yes, I think that's.
Maybe some of it is true. Maybe some of it is. Probably most of it is fiction.
Yeah.
Maybe
so there's I think
the
a
odd,
lot of it is.
Maybe there's the odd grain. Maybe the odd grain of truth. Are there two leather straps down just above your bed?
The strap is,
yeah. The strap is, yeah, yes, yeah, okay. Yes. Yeah. Maybe some. I don't know. I'm working in the dark. I've no idea. But anyway, you know, very interesting. Anyway, Daisy, perhaps she didn't like Sex in the City. Perhaps
maybe
she
she'll
will
enjoy
like
One
Fifth Avenue.
One Fifth Avenue.
Yeah, yeah.
One Fifth Avenue.
I don't think she has got a Fifth Avenue, because I would have read that on the blog. So, Martin.
Yes, Craig.
Have you been following the nominations for the Turner Prize?
Well, it's interesting, yes. So that seems to be all the rage at the moment. You know, every year they come around, there seem to be four front runners, as I see it. I don't know how many nominees there are, generally. Do you know the answer to that?
I think... It's a handful, isn't it, usually? I'm sure sometimes there have been five.
Well,
I could be wrong
off the top
about
of
that.
My head, there is someone, I think, called Runa Islam, I think. There's a chap called Mark... What's he called? Mark Kelsey or Lecky? Mark Lecky, I think he might be called, or something like that.
Yeah.
Someone called Kathy... someone.
God, you're very good at this. Kathy Wilkes.
Kathy Wilkes, that's right. Well, she's the one who's done the... I have to say, if I took a wrong turn one night and went underneath the arches and found something that looked like her installation that had been sort of done by some, I don't know, some tramps, I'd run away. Even if they were comatose at the foot of their installation, I wouldn't want to be in the same arch.
This is an installation that's got some mannequins. It's got some mannequins, female mannequins. One sitting on the loo.
And
which looks like
draped
sort of
with sort of
poo shapes.
No, they're horseshoes, I seem to remember. Mm. But just horseshoes.
They look like poo shapes to me. Like succession. They're horseshoe. They're crescent shaped, but then That's the shape of a poo, isn't it, as well?
Is it?
Yeah. No, she's whole. You know, she's got three crescent poo shapes. Crescent, I mean, I'm not saying they are poo. I mean, I'm not such a troglodyte as to think that something in a work of art actually might be the thing that it purports to be. I mean, I'm not an idiot.
Yes.
You know, but I'm just saying, you know, if we're just supposed to have an open emotional response to this, that looks a bit to me like she's sitting on a loo.
Festooned with the very.
She's wearing a nurse's hat as well, from memory.
That's weird.
She's slightly.
I don't
odd.
Understand that. I seem to remember there's a sort of like a pink, like looks like a sort of
rug on the floor.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
Pink rug on the floor with a heart on it. I seem to.
You haven't seen it, have you?
God no, I've just seen pictures of it in the paper.
Oh, but okay. Yeah. Of course, the Turner Prize is named after
J.W.W.S.P. Turner.
Turner, the famous artist. Mm.
He was famous for those wonderful seascapes he did, because he could sort of capture the swirling mists and these beautiful, beautiful refractions of light coming through these great, I don't think the rosy fingers of dawn have ever been so well captured on canvas as they were by young Ralph Turner.
No, absolutely. But here's the interesting link.
Go on.
I've got a link.
Go
here.
On.
Did you know that? One of the inspirations behind the extraordinary skyscapes, whatever you want to call them, seascapes, that Turner painted was the fact that in 1816, when he was painting, there was actually a massive volcanic eruption.
I did. It was actually at the end of 1815, though, in Indonesia or somewhere like that.
So I think this is a very interesting point here, that the spectacular sunsets that Turner was so inspired by were actually caused by this natural disaster. We thought that Turner was a conceptual artist. We thought he was painting his own inner imaginings of what a sky might look like. Mm. But no, he was actually an incredibly literal artist. He was painting literally the red skyscapes that he could see. It's not actually conceptual at all.
Right.
So you see, perhaps the whole edifice, you see, comes tumbling down. Turner, not a conceptual artist. Perhaps we've, misnamed this whole prize. You know, perhaps there's an irony there, at least.
Do entrants to the Turner Prize have to conform to a particular thing? I mean, can anyone join? I mean, any artist, obviously, join? Or do you have to have stuff that's essentially cack?
Well, I think that... I think you have to be a... you have to be up and coming, don't you? I'm not sure quite.
Do they say we don't? Obviously, I mean, if anybody were fool enough to submit a picture or something like that, you know, like they used to on Take Heart, for example, they'd be laughed out of town.
Yes, I'm sure they would.
They'd have the picture tied round their neck and they'd be beaten out of Hoxton, wouldn't they?
A bottle of champagne with a little straw coming out of the top of it. No. Probably have to try and keep that upright as they hobbled along the marketplace Get out of town.
Vivid. Yes, but interesting.
With your portraiture.
Yeah, with your ruddy...
Literal figuratism.
Yeah. But the, interestingly, also caused by that same eruption of Mount Tempura, whatever it was called, that also ruined the summer of 1816, and that was the summer when Byron and Shelley and young Mrs. Shelley were all on holiday.
And for some reason, Byron's doctor.
That's also right, yes.
I thought Byron was a sort of living on the edge kind of guy. I'm kind of surprised that he took his doctor everywhere with him.
I mean, well, maybe he had a club foot, as you know. And I
needed the odd argument.
The odd argument probably helped, and the odd. I have a feeling he was the proud carrier of several quite impressive venereal diseases, I think.
Probably needed the ministering to 24/7.
Yeah, these were the days before Caniston.
Yeah. You just took the doc.
You took the doc with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe...
I'm going out of town for a couple of days. I think I'm having a bit of a bout. Could you come with me? Yeah.
Anyway, so there they all were, on holiday, Lake Geneva. I'm just setting the scene. And for the fourth day running, Mary comes in. She's only 18 at the time, I believe. Mary Shelley. She comes in and says,
I
believe. Oh, Craig, stop it.
Oh, dear me.
Oh, Craig.
Well, I wouldn't mind sitting on her lap while she read me the Frankenstein.
Oh, that's quite nice.
I wouldn't mind burrowing my head between her armpit and her side of her bosom.
What?
While she stroked my neck. Anyway,
that's okay? Yeah, it's better.
Yeah.
But anyway, she comes out in. It's raining again. They said, "Oh, bad news. We can't have our picnic today either." I'm embellishing. And one of them then says, "Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we all just write stories?" They said, "We'll just sit around here indoors and we can come up with some stories." And out of that came Frankenstein, The Vampire by the doctor. Can't remember what his name was.
I mean, that was some party, wasn't it?
Or something like that.
Everyone kicked a goal. Even the doc wrote a book.
The doc scored a hit.
Yeah.
And then that was ripped off by Bram Stoker.
And Byron, of course, came up with The Tiger Who Came to Tea.
That's right.
Which is a cracking story. I mean...
He actually wrote Byron, of course. No, I think Byron introduced the idea of the vampire as a gentleman, you know, the aristocratic supernatural hero. You know, because previously vampires had been like sort of werewolves. You know, they were kind of they existed in the they were animals more than humans, really, vampires.
Right.
You know, and he you know, the image of the vampire now with his bow tie and his long flowing cloak. And quite impeccably gelled hair.
Yeah, and cloak in the sight of a sort of V-shape.
Yes, never quite understood that.
I've never seen anyone else wear a cloak like that.
No.
Other than a vampire.
No. Yeah. Never. Apart from Snow White's mother. She used to wear one like that.
That's right.
She's the only other one, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
Could be the same cloak. No.
Like a hand-me-down.
Yeah.
It could be. It could easily be, actually, because Snow White has its origins, I believe, from Eastern Europe.
If it was a hand-me-down, it must have gone from Snow White to the vampire, because the vampires lived for thousands of years. I mean, it could never have gone the other way.
Yes, you wouldn't want to be the younger brother of a vampire, would you? Because you'd never get anything handed down.
Am I going to get that bloody cloak?
Well, I think the
sun is past the yardarm.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Well,
I'm not suggesting we go and have a drink. I'm suggesting we end the.
I think we should.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. I saw
a little sundowner.
That's right. I saw a bottle of aftershock in the antechamber to the studio. I thought maybe we might take that. Go out into the park and sit on a bench. Maybe neck it.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm in.
Me too.
Thank you very much for listening.
Yes, thank you. It's been a great pleasure to fill your ears with stuff.
With cultural stuff.
That's right, yeah.
This has been Zeitgeist.
It has.
I've been Craig Children.
With me, Martin Bain-Jones.
All that's left is for Martin to say...
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Time Ghost was written and created by Alexander Armstrong and Ben Miller. This episode was originally released by The Times in 2008... and it was produced by John Davenport and edited by Ed Ryland. Time Ghost is a Hattrick podcast.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.